Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of West Nile virus found under the infectious disease section at medbullets.com. Let's begin with a clinical snapshot. A 60-year-old woman is brought into the emergency room for confusion and flaccid paralysis. Her family reveals that she recently made a trip to Asia and arrived home just a few days ago. On physical exam, she is febrile and is not oriented to person, place, or time. She has hyperreflexia and flaccid paralysis of both legs. Cerebrospinal fluid analysis reveals elevated lymphocytes, normal protein, and normal glucose. Further analysis reveals immunoglobulin M to the suspected virus. Let's continue with an introduction to West Nile virus. As a reminder, West Nile virus is classified as an enveloped, positive, single-stranded RNA virus, and it is a flavivirus. It is transmitted by mosquitoes, and conditions that are associated include West Nile fever and meningoencephalitis. In terms of the epidemiology, this is more severe in the elderly, and it is more common in the young. Risk factors include mosquito bites. In terms of the pathogenesis, the mosquito saliva transmits the virus to the human blood. The virus then replicates in dendritic cells and spreads via lymphatics and bloodstream. In some patients, the virus can invade the central nervous system and cause meningoencephalitis. Paralysis occurs when the neurons are damaged in the anterior horn of the spinal cord. Moving on to the presentation, symptoms of West Nile fever include headache, myalgias, nausea and vomiting, and some patients may develop a rash. Symptoms of meningoencephalitis may include confusion, coma, acute headache, photophobia, and nausea and vomiting. On exam in West Nile fever, one may note a non-pruritic papular rash on the trunk and extremities, lymphadenopathy, or conjunctivitis. In meningoencephalitis, one may note acute flaccid paralysis, myoclonus, cerebellar ataxia, seizures, but sensation is typically intact. In terms of further studies, labs should include an immunoglobulin M enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay. This should be of the serum or the cerebrospinal fluid. Cerebrospinal fluid analysis will typically demonstrate normal glucose, increased or normal protein, and elevated lymphocytes. And when making the diagnosis, remember that this is based on clinical presentation and laboratory studies. With regards to the differential, make sure to think about dengue fever, with distinguishing factors being that this is characterized by mucosal bleeding, hemorrhage, and abdominal pain. In terms of treatment, remember that the mainstay of treatment is supportive care. This is indicated for all patients. Specific modalities include fluids, pain management, and mechanical ventilation. Complications related to West Nile virus include rhabdomyolysis and Guillain-Barré syndrome. And lastly, with regards to prognosis, remember that most infections are asymptomatic. When symptomatic, the disease may progress to meningitis or encephalitis in less than 1% of those infected. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to West Nile virus, let's walk through a question to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For this question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 35-year-old man is brought to the emergency department from home after he experienced a first-time seizure. On presentation, he is alert but cannot move his lower extremities bilaterally. His wife says that they returned 1 week ago from a safari vacation in Tanzania and that he has been feeling under the weather since then. His major symptoms were fever and myalgias. However, he also developed a non-itchy rash over the last few days. This morning, he complained of a headache which rapidly worsened leading up to the seizure episode. He has no significant past medical history and does not use any drugs. On exam, there is ataxia of his upper extremities bilaterally and severe weakness in his lower extremities with areflexia. Which of the following vectors is most likely involved in this disease? And the answer choices are: choice 1, Aedes mosquito; choice 2, Anopheles mosquito; choice 3, Culex mosquito; choice 4, Dermacentor tick; or choice 5, Ixodes tick. The best answer to this question is choice 3, Culex mosquito. This patient with recent travel history who presents with headache, flaccid paralysis, and ataxia several days after developing a fever, non-itchy rash, and myalgias, most likely has West Nile virus. The virus is transmitted by the Culex mosquito. West Nile virus is an enveloped, positive, single-stranded RNA flavivirus that is transmitted by the bite of the Culex mosquito. It is endemic in Africa, Europe, and Middle East, as well as North America and West Asia, especially in tropical or subtropical areas where mosquitoes flourish. In most cases, this disease is either asymptomatic or causes mild symptoms such as fever and myalgias. In a small percentage of patients, the virus can also invade the central nervous system and cause meningoencephalitis. These patients may also present with acute flaccid paralysis when neurons are damaged in the anterior horn of the spinal cord. A physical exam will reveal a non-pruritic papular rash on the trunk and extremities. The mainstay of treatment is supportive management, as there is no cure for this virus. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. The Aedes mosquito is responsible for transmitting dengue virus, which can also present with fever, headache, myalgias, and a rash. However, the complication of this disease is mucosal bleeding and hemorrhage, rather than paralysis. Choice 2. The Anopheles mosquito is responsible for the transmission of malaria, which is another common cause of fever after traveling to endemic areas. However, this fever classically recurs every 3 or 4 days and is associated with anemia. Choice 4. The Dermacentor tick is responsible for transmitting Francisella tularensis, which can cause high fever, pneumonia, and ulceroglandular rashes, but not flaccid paralysis. Choice 5. The Ixodes tick is responsible for transmitting Borrelia burgdorferi, which causes Lyme disease. The neurological findings associated with this disease usually occur months after initial infection and commonly present with facial nerve palsy. Finally, a bullet summary. West Nile virus is transmitted by the Culex mosquito and can cause meningoencephalitis or acute flaccid paralysis in severe cases. That's all for this review about West Nile virus. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.